Thanks, Jules. Thanks, Vince. Thanks, Greg. And Jono, first time on the drums for Jono. Good work, Jono. He loves attention being drawn to himself, don't you, mate? Love it. Hey, great to be with you and all, and everyone that's home as well, and those of you that are here. We've just kind of finished a series that Tim's been doing on the different gifts, and we are going to be going into another series on prayer, and we're going to be looking at a couple of the really, I think, amazing prayers that God's given us to pray. But we're going to be doing that in a little while. But today I just kind of wanted to pause, and I wanted to give thanks. I just wanted to just pause and some of the things that have kind of stood out to me. And what I'd like you to do, for you guys that are here, and for you guys that are back home, if you could just think over the last 4 months, despite the challenges, what are the things that you're thankful for? That you'd like to give thanks for, and I'm gonna start, and while I am, if you could have a think, what do I want to give thanks for? And if you'd like to put it on the chat, I'll actually read out what you guys back home are reflecting on as well. So the chat is if you go onto YouTube so go onto the Church by the Bay website, click on services, and you click on the YouTube function. And then you'll see the chat option. It'll just be there as part of the YouTube broadcast. Okay. All right. So, well, these are some of the things I want to give thanks for. I want to give thanks for the resilience of the team, the guys that have been leading while I've been away. I think Fee has been incredible, and Tim and Xander and the elders, I just think they have been amazing. Everyone gave a quiet applause, but they've been incredible. So in them trying to creatively find ways for us to continue to connect, they've worked incredibly hard, so I'm thankful for them. I'm really thankful for Tim's leadership and for his gifting. I just love Tim's calm, clarity and consistency. They are a great gift to us. I'm sure you guys will all agree. Tim's just a terrific gift. I want to give thanks for the EGS team, the External Gospel Support, Pete Chandra and Tim and Kitty. I just think they've done a great job in being able to bring greater focus in how we give our money away as a church to the gospel, and also challenging us with that kingdom builders to actually double our giving of giving away to see the gospel spread throughout our country and the world. I'm really grateful for them. I was actually really excited while we were driving across WA listening to some of the services and seeing what they were doing. I thought it was terrific. I'm grateful for Xander. I've really enjoyed watching you, mate. It's been obvious this year how much you've enjoyed your preaching, and hasn't he grown in his preaching ability and his teaching this year? I remember again, mate, Jules and I were driving, and that message you gave about differentiating between God's mission for your life and the assignment, I just found that personally really, really helpful. So, mate, I'm really thankful for you. I'm thankful for our faithful prayers. Jan, really glad that you're here today. I'm really, we would keep getting the emails from Jan while we're away. And I'm just thankful for people that just keep praying within our church family. I'm thankful for everyone that's kind of sunk into the 24 hours of prayer and provided that listening opportunity for the elders, not just while I've been away, but just generally how good that has been. I read while I was away a book by Jack Deere, and he said this: prayer is, now underline this, you want to have something to hear from today, prayer is the greatest thing you can do. It is the greatest thing you could do. Do you agree? What do you think? It's the greatest thing you could do. Now, we've got a 24 hours of prayer coming up actually this Friday. And you can go onto the Church by the Bay website, click on prayer, and you'll see in there is the options for you to pick an hour of prayer. Now, if you're at home, or you're here and you heard me say prayer is the greatest thing that you can do, and you kind of agree with that. If you're an older Christian, can I really encourage you that part of your responsibility to the next generation that Jules read about in Psalm 145 is to equip them in prayer? And the 24 hours of prayer is a great thing to do. So grab a young person and actually say, hey, can you and I pray together for that 24 hours of prayer? Jotham, that was up on the screen, Jotham and I have prayed a couple of times in the middle of the night. He's been on one end of the country, I've been on the other, and we've just prayed together for an hour. It's been fantastic. But I'm really, really grateful for our prayers. I'm grateful for our quiet shepherds. Tim said when he was talking about the pastoral gift, he said some of you have got that gift of coming alongside people and just journeying with them and caring for them, and you're great at it. And I am so grateful for our quiet pastors like Sue. Sue just does that quietly. And we've got lots of you, and I'm so grateful for our quiet shepherds who phone, who call, who make meals, who just walk in love. I'm really grateful for them. Steve, this is really echoey in my head. Move it closer. That's better. Hitting my face. Rixie's going, let it hit your face, Dave. Sorry if it's... Right here. Maybe that's a bit better. I'm really thankful for the guys that persisted with Alpha. Joe, Peter, Steve, Sue, Xander, the other guys that helped put that Alpha on for those young people. I'm so grateful that they didn't give up and they persisted with that. And how unreal, Jotham's typifies that. But, you know, we've had young people that have become Christians just in the last little while who've shared the gospel with other friends that came to that Alpha who've just even recently given their lives to Jesus. So I'm grateful for the people that were persistent with Alpha. That's just wonderful, that keep taking that message of hope out. So right here, I've got some people saying here, what are they grateful for? Georgia Gordon said, I'm thankful for the sunshine. That's probably because you just bring sunshine wherever you are, G. Holly said, I'm grateful for home group and our family, for Kay's, Rexy and the Q's. Liz said, I'm thankful for the family of God. Amen. Jules said, for faithful friends. For Nanette, she said, thankful for my husband who faithfully searches and teaches the word to me. For G and her heart for women in our girls group. Bron says she's thankful for being able to celebrate Tomo's wedding with and among the Christian family. Yeah, amen. Jules and I were parked on the side of a hill on the Gibb River Road. We said, is there any way we can get Telstra service? And they said, go to that hill, and if you just come down there and you park in a certain spot, you should be able to get service. So we kind of did that to watch Tomo's wedding, which was great. Craig says, I'm thankful for such passionate young people. Amen. And Greg says he's thankful for the great leadership team at Church by the Bay. And Andrew says he's glad to see Jules and I back. Thanks, mate. That's very kind of you to say. We're grateful for you both and keep praying for you. Thanks, mate. Thank you for that. So just some of the things. It's good to pause, isn't it? And to give thanks and to stop together. So why don't we just pray and just remember that every good gift that we have comes down from our Heavenly Father. Hey, Father, we just want to acknowledge whether we're looking at the grace and mercy that we've experienced from another person, or whether it is looking at the sunshine in the sky and the beauty around us. God, we just want to acknowledge that everything that we have that is good, everything that is good comes from you. So, Father, bless your name. Bless you for your kindness, your compassion, your goodness to us. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity, just the gift of being in your forever family. We thank you, Father, for rescuing us, for saving us, for bringing us together, and for all your goodness to us. We bless your name. And everyone said, amen. Caleb says, oh, there's some more coming through. Caleb says, yeah, right.
Yes.
Oh, Steve's just said he's thankful for the Xana meeting with the adventurers group each Sunday. That's the Illingworth brothers. Oh, sorry. Oh, Jack and Riley. Yes. Excellent. Good work, guys. All right. Well, look, we're going to... some of you may have heard, you probably saw my e-news, that we had a bit of an eventful Sunday last Sunday. I'm not going to go into too many details, but basically what happened was we were trying to create some extra space in our house because we've got lots of people. And I was trying to put up our camper trailer. The tyre had deflated on the little jockey wheel, and I was trying to find the valve on it to do up. And I couldn't find it with my hand, and so I foolishly stuck my head underneath to try and see where the valve was. And just at that moment, the mechanism on the jockey trailer collapsed, and it caught my neck and my jaw. And so I was sandwiched between the drawbar and the jockey wheel. And as soon as it happened, I felt this crunch. I heard this crack, and I couldn't breathe. And I thought, you know, when I don't know if you've ever had these times in your life where everything slows right down. And I knew that I probably had about 40 seconds or so before I was going to pass out because I couldn't breathe. I wasn't sure what the crunch was, but I thought that's not good. And I also knew that I most likely was not going to be able to get the trailer off. I thought I might have one chance at getting it before I pass out. And I was really hopeful. I kind of said in my mind I thought the boys will get it off me. And fortunately, when this happened, Reuben and Josh and another young man who's living with us had just pulled the trailer around. And that's what happened. They pulled it off me. And then Reuben just really calmly got off me, and I kind of leant back and he said, "Dad, tell me what's happening. Where's the pain?" And I told him where the pain was. He told me to lie down and not to move. I told him about my neck. And then he asked me a couple more questions about what was happening. And then just calm as you like, he just turned to Josh and he said to Josh, "Josh, can you please ring the ambulance? And then I'd like you to ring Mum and ask Mum to come home." And then he put his hand on my chest and he started to pray. And he said, "Thank you, God, for Dad. Thank you that his life is in your hands." I'm not crying because of what happened then. I'm just crying because of the faith of my son. Oh, gosh, I've been hopeless. And then he prayed. He asked God to come and heal my body. He commanded the pain to stop. And then he asked the Holy Spirit to come and to bring peace. And he did. It was just like, ah. And so much so that when other members of the family arrived, there I was lying on the ground with my legs crossed and, you know, my hands lying on my chest like this. And they're going, you know, this doesn't fit the picture of what we'd been told. And anyway, I was eventually, the Ambos came and took me away, and I had a lovely 24 hours in hospital with some amazing encounters with some people in there. It's another story for another time. But what got me was that in that moment, Reuben chose what was going to rain. Do you know, we get to choose what rains in our life. We get to choose. You get to choose what reigns. Now, peace is not just an individual thing. Peace is actually something, yes, we might choose it individually, but it affects everyone else around us as well. Reuben's choice in that moment rippled out immediately to me. It rippled out to my family. It went out to the ambulance officers that were there. It rippled out. When you choose and I choose peace, it changes everything. You get to choose what reigns in your life. Reuben's choice had a massive impact on me. Last Sunday, I want you to think, what were the things that were vying or calling to reign? in that moment?
Fear.
Fear was calling. Pain was calling. Panic was calling. Uncertainty about the future. You know, all these different things, anxiety, all these different things are there. So peace is not this kind of magical thing that eradicates these other things as if they're not there. There are these other things as we're experiencing right now, not just us individually, but even as a whole society. You know, the constant ruminating over COVID, and I get caught up in it too. You know, and the talk about vaccinations and our government and what's happening in the world and you know, the collision that creates between our expectations of how we think. All these things are still there, but you and I get to choose what reigns. Will it be fear about the future? Will it be about vaccinations? Will it be about our government? Will it be our ruined holiday? Will it be our financial uncertainty? Will it be about our job? Will it be about... We get to choose what reigns. And we can let peace reign. We can let peace reign. So there's a verse that I've been meditating on while we're on our trip, and it's this verse here that says... Let the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Now, just before we're going to unpack that verse a little bit later, but just to give you a little bit of background, if you go back to chapter 2, and I'll put this verse up, Paul says to these Colossian churches, who he's never met these group of Christians, but he's encouraging them, he says, in him, in Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised in Christ. And this theme in Colossians of governance is very strongly through this book. Paul talks about how the fact that when Jesus rose again from the dead, he defeats sin, he defeats death, he defeats the principalities and the powers in the air, the unseen realm. He defeats them, and it says that he held them up to public spectacle. They're defeated. And he says, because of that, there's been a change of governance. And now he says the application for these Colossian Christians, he says, when you said yes to Jesus, the governance of your life changed. It switched from your flesh nature to now the spirit nature. So that's this focus that comes through. Now, under this new governance, Paul tells these Colossians about the old practices. And I think one of the practices is what I will call peace deceptors. We have these peace deceptors. I'll be at peace when, fill the blank. I'll be at peace when all my kids are saved. I'll be at peace when my finances are sorted. I'll be at peace when, tell me, give me one. Give me a common peace deceptor that we can have. Anything come to mind here, folks? I'll be at peace when lockdown is over. Give me another one. I'll be at peace when I find the right partner. Jan, you said one? I'll be at peace when COVID is gone. I wonder if anyone's... If you've got one there, send it in, guys. Any others? What is another peace deceptor? I'll be at peace when I've paid my house off. Yeah, there are all these things, and they're peace deceptors. They're not what gives peace. That actually belongs to the governance of our flesh. Paul's actually saying, you guys have got a new governance, and it's the governance of the spirit, because you've put your faith not in your finance, not in the solving of COVID, not in getting a new partner, not in your kids' salvation, not in your health. You've put your faith in what? Rich actually reminded us through communion, this ultimate hope that we've got of Christ. That's our ultimate hope. You put your faith, and that's what governs your life. So with that in mind, we're going to do a DBS, a Discovery Bible study. You know, Tim's been teaching us this, and we're going to have a look at a passage now in that's just prior to that verse that I showed you earlier from Colossians 3:15. We're going to read Colossians 3:5-15. If you've got your Bibles, can I encourage you to read it? If you're at home, grab your Bibles. We are going to put it up on the screen. And what we'll do is we'll read it together out loud. Then I'll give you time to read it again silently to yourself. Then we're going to close our Bibles and we are going to recount what does this passage say. And again, if you're at home, I'd love you to be able to help us recount what's in this passage, okay? And then I'm going to, at the end, unpack just particularly verse 15. So let's have a look at this passage together. Here we go. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Okay, so just have a go at reading that passage again silently to yourself. Okay. All right, close your Bibles or shut your phone down or whatever you need to do. Let's recount. What does Paul's encouragement to these Colossians now that the governance of their life has changed?
Don't lie to each other.
Don't lie to each other. Thanks, Greg. What else? What else does he say? So put off the old nature, okay? And he said something else in there. Put off your old nature, and it was a P word. And it's practices. There you go. So you can get to practice an old nature on you. You know, sorry, I'm probably breaking the rules here. What else does it say? What else does it say in that passage?
Forgive.
Yeah, sorry. So Liz and Rex have both said forgive. Any more on the forgiveness there? Anyone else remember anything it says about the forgiveness? Put off your old nature. Yep. Thanks, Jack. Riley. So God's wrath is coming because of the practices of the old nature. Yeah. So there's a consequence for those practices of the old he's pointing to. What else? What else was in there? There was some more about the forgiveness in there.
As God forgave you.
Forgive as God forgave you. That's big, isn't it? That kind of often messes with our understanding of forgiveness. What else did he say?
Well, it tells us what to get rid of, but also what to pick up.
Okay, so tells us what to get rid of, Jules said, but also what we need to pick up. Okay, tell me some of the pickups.
Compassion.
Kindness.
Humility.
Love. Yep.
Gentleness.
Have we missed any?
Patience.
Have we missed anyone?
Kindness.
Yep. Anything else in that passage? There's bucket loads, isn't there? What else is it saying? What else is he saying?
Bear with one another.
Bear with one another. Bear with one another. Gee, that's interesting. I wonder what that actually means. What do you, if you ever think about, what does it mean to bear with one another? He actually says, what does he actually say? Bear with another. Do you remember what he said after that? I actually didn't pronounce the word very well after that. Bear with one another whatever grievances you have. Bearing grievance. There's lots in there, but I want you to see that Paul's saying, because your old nature is gone, the lying, the filthy language, if you open your Bibles up, he goes through sexual immorality, impurity. Yep, we got some of these, but we didn't get immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So that he's saying that's finished, that's to be put off. That's a practice that you put off. And in the same way, the practices that you put on. All right, well, let's actually have a look at this last part, because I actually think this, what we talked about earlier, the peace of God is actually one of the key things that actually is an indicator whether you're putting off the old or putting on the new. When there's a lack of peace in us, when there is a, you know, that sense of, hey, I think I went a bit too far with Reuben, or, you know, gee, I spoke tersely to that person, or I'm ruminating over some injustice. That lack of peace is an indicator to me that I'm actually slipped back under the governance of the old and I'm not living out of the governance of the new. So let's have a look at this last verse. That is at the end of this passage. Let the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, since as members of the one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. So again, I started saying you get to choose what reigns, and that's exactly what Paul is saying. He says, but now it's a let it reign. It's not a you don't have to make this happen. Because you've got a new nature, your nature is to let peace reign. Your old nature of holding on to the grievance, the lust, the impurity, the greed, idolatry, that has been cut from you. And remember how Paul said in the last chapter? It's cut like circumcision. Now, guys, I don't know how many of you have been circumcised here. I'm not divulging anything personally, but how many times would you like to be circumcised? Multiple? No, Rex just said, I can't remember the first time it happened. But can you imagine, we do this continually. What I'm saying is that every time we slip up as Christians, we go back to this sense that because I've failed, I'm now that old nature. And oh, I'm the old nature again. It's grabbed hold of me. That's who I am. But it's not. In the same way that you were circumcised once and that's it, the moment you gave your life to Christ, it says your old nature and its practices was circumcised from you. So we get to let, we can let peace reign because it's a part of the new, of who we are. So there's three words in there particularly that I wanted to focus on. Three words. There's called, there's reign, and there's thankful. Called, reign, and thankful. And I think they're key into actually holding on to the peace of God. So this first one that he has, called, it's not just like when I bellow from the top of our stairs and I call our kids to tea, or you call out to someone over the road to get their attention. This word called, it's more like, you know, when a coach is getting his team together at three-quarter time and they're down by 5 points, you know, and they, or, you know, it's the final timeout in the basketball match, and they've just, and he's urging them, and he's asking them, come on, guys, you've got to play the full match. You can do this. You've got to get this. He's calling them to something, okay? And that's that sense of this word call, kaleo. It's the same word that says that Jesus will be called the Prince of Peace. He will be called the Son of Righteousness. He will be called Emmanuel. He will be called your Saviour. He'll be called Messiah. That, these weren't things that someone was calling out. They're descriptive of what? Who he really is. So when Paul says, let the peace of God reign, since you were called to this, he's actually saying, because this is a power that's actually at work in you. So it's not me trying to grasp peace as if it's something out here I've got to grab hold of you. He's actually saying, you have peace in your nature. And I'm calling you to live true to who you are. Kaleo, you be at peace, because that's who you are. Then this next word he's got is this word, and it's, this word is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. And it's, I hope I've got this right, brabreo. And it's the word that we've got translated as reigned, or it can be the word ruled. But the other word that it could be have is umpire. Now, can you tell me, what does an umpire do? Come on out. What does an umpire do? All right, I want you to say, Reuben, our umpire, tell me, he's in the middle of the match, he sees a scrimmage or he sees something going on, and what does he do? You tell me. He blows a whistle. All right, so he blows a whistle, he times out or he does something, and when he blows the whistle, what's he actually doing? So Lisa's just said he's making them accountable to the rules of the game. Okay? Yep, keep going. What is he doing? He's making them stop. That's good, Janet. Anything else? What else does an umpire do? He's taking control of the situation.
But he redirects.
He redirects. That's fantastic. He takes control of he makes things stop. He takes control of the system. He calls them to the rules of the game and he redirects them. That's what an umpire does. So Paul is saying to these Colossian Christians, he's saying, let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire. Let the peace of God stop you, call you back to the rules. What rules? Well, you're under a new governance, aren't you? You're under the governance of the Spirit of God, the peace of God. That's what governs your life. So let the peace of Christ stop you, remind you of the governance that you're now under, and now he's going to redirect you in who you really are. That's what he's saying. AJ's got a comment. Yeah, AJ's just said, is our choice to turn to the Holy Spirit, who's the indwelling comforter? Yeah, absolutely. What's the three of the things that Jesus says the Holy Spirit does is to comfort, to correct, and to counsel. So he is the umpire that stops. So the peace of God, Spirit of God, stops us, blows the whistle, and says, this behaviour that you're doing right now does not belong. This belongs to your flesh, to the old nature that's now gone. You need to stop. You need to be redirected. And you need to live the rules that you now learn, the rules of the Spirit, not the rules of the flesh. Liz, you got a comment?
I was just thinking the whistle of the empire is like the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so Liz has just said the whistle is like the conviction of the Holy Spirit that begins to move. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Scoobs. Thanks for Sunday too, mate. So Reuben, can you see that when Reuben, that part of the reason why I got him up here with his umpire, yes, the Holy Spirit is our umpire, but can you see how under the authority of the governance of the Holy Spirit, Reuben was actually used to be an umpire last Sunday? He actually ushered in the reign and the rule of the peace of God. Now, what do you think, church? How much does our world need the sons and the daughters of God? They're going to choose the rule and the reign of the peace of God. Sitting around your smoko room, sitting around your family, sitting around your coffee, sitting around when you're chatting to someone on the phone, when we're drilling down, and I know I've done it too, and you recognize, oh, I'm going back to complaining, oh, I'm going back to this, what do we need to do? We need to stop and actually remember, what's the rule, what's the reign that I'm under, and be redirected. The last word. N.T. Wright actually said about this, and I thought this is terrific. He said, the peace which is to characterize the church is not to be a mere outward absence of hostility. It's to be the peace of Christ, which must become a deciding factor in your heart. Whatever disagreements or mutual suspicions occur in the church, they are to be dealt with at the deepest level by all parties, allowing the fact of their unity in Christ to settle the issue in their hearts. Now, earlier, Paul actually said you are to stop lying to one another. You know, I think we have like sometimes a passive lying. That when we're in a place of disagreement or issue with one another and we don't actually deal with it in the way that the Lord calls us to deal with it, it doesn't go away. Like when we just are satisfied with this kind of external false peace, that's not the peace that we're called to. It's a deep peace of the heart. So it means that when there's a difficulty in our relationships with one another, that we are called to actually work them through. Otherwise, don't you think we're kind of lying to one another? Kind of pretending that everything's all good when we actually recognise that the umpire's blown his whistle. He's actually called us to something else. And it's not false peace. It's actually a deep honesty and a deep love to one another that is able to walk with people, journey with each other through difficult things. Now, the last thing that Paul says is where we get the power for this ability to keep choosing what reigns in our life. He says is thankfulness. And this word thankfulness, interestingly, again, it's the only time this word is used in the New Testament. And it's the word eucharistio. And it's where we get our word Eucharist from. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, thankfulness is a big theme again in the book of Colossians. Paul says, we always thank God when we pray for you. He says, so then just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened as the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. In chapter 4:2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. Now, when you and I take the communion, the Eucharist, one of the things, doesn't it draw you to two things, prayer and gratitude? Doesn't it do that? Because you're just reminded that before God, I'm just a sinner, I'm just broken, and I desperately need a Saviour. And it reminds me that it's actually through the lens of the Eucharist, through the lens of the cross, prayer and thankfulness that I live my life. So Paul is actually saying, guys, if you want peace to reign, if you want peace to reign in your life, because that's what you're called to, that's the umpire you want in your life, then there's two things you have to do. You have to be prayerful and thankful, because those two things are absolutely, how could you, if I said we're going to celebrate communion, the Eucharist, and we're taking prayer and thankfulness out of the equation, what would you have left? You'd have Sue's just said, you'd have nothing. So this very word thankful reminds us that we look through life through the lens of the cross. You know, when I'm struggling with doubt or where's God in a moment or I'm finding something difficult, I often actually will picture in my mind coming and looking at the cross and looking at Jesus on the cross. Because, you know, if I was one of Jesus' disciples, looking at Jesus hanging on the cross at that moment, at that time, I think my response would have been going, God, what the heck are you doing? Now, have you had a what the heck are you doing moment this week, this month? What the heck is going on, God? Have you had one of those moments? But Reuben, umpire, thank you, God. Dad's life's in your hands. Let's peace reign. And then through the cross, through the thankfulness and the prayer, peace can actually begin to reign. So this week, I want to encourage you to think on a few questions. I'm going to send these out to your cluster leaders. And just to ask yourself these ones. I want you to notice first the heading up. We get to choose what reigns. And I put in bracket and reigns. Because when you choose for peace to reign, what reigns? What comes down? Peace comes. So these are the questions for us to think of through. Who is your umpire? Is your umpire, because it can be peace, or it can be anger. It can be unforgiveness. It can be bitterness. It can be self-righteousness. It can be immorality. It can be idolatry. It can be greed. It can be that list that Paul had earlier. Those can be your umpire. So who's your umpire? Now, I'd actually, in your cluster groups, or if you've got a trusted friend, ask your trusted friend, ask your significant other, ask someone else, who do you think is my umpire? That's a tough question to ask, but you know what? It gives us an opportunity to bear each other's burdens. It actually gets us an opportunity to be deeply honest with one another and actually help each other journey through this. Are there any relationships where your old nature is calling the shots? Where your old nature is the umpire? Any relationships? Just have it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Are there any relationships where my old nature is calling the shot? It's blowing the whistle rather than the peace of God. And then third one, and this is a bit of a long statement. My apologies. Who or what situations is God calling you to be thankful? So looking through the lens of the communion of grace, so that we can answer the call to let peace reign. So what situations is God calling you to be thankful in? Now, this is not some sort of masochist kind of, oh, thank you, God, that I lost my job. That's so wonderful. Or thank you, God, that COVID is ravaging our nation. That's just wonderful. It's not that. It's more that, God, I look through the cross, I look through the Eucharist, and I'm prayerfully and deeply reminded that you are God. That there are situations and I don't get what's happening in my job. I don't get what's happening in my marriage. I don't get what's happening in my body. I don't get what's happening in my finances. I don't get what's happening in my children. I don't get it. It's tough. I'm finding this hard. But I'm thankful that the cross reminds me that you are good, that you are sovereign, that you have a plan, that you have a way when I can't see a way. I'm thankful. God, show me afresh how to call up peace, because you have called me to peace, because I am under the governance of the Spirit. I'm no longer under the governance of my flesh. Yes, amen. So I really want to encourage you in your cluster groups, just have a think of those three questions. Talk about it. And this is, yes, deeply personal, but I really want to encourage you to actually ask each other, who do you see as my umpire? And give each other an opportunity to actually clearly identify the times and the places where God's wanting you to swap your umpire of the flesh and move to being umpired by peace. Now, finally, we have got some challenging days ahead of us. We've got some big questions. You know, practical stuff. I think the government's probably going to outline that you can't reopen churches unless you've been fully vaccinated. I don't know that. Please hear me. I don't know that. And the government haven't said that. But what would happen if that was the decree, that we can't meet again together, or people can't walk into this space unless they're fully vaccinated? Now, I know right now that question will polarise us as a community. Some of us will go, yep, that's appropriate. We should be fully vaccinated. Others of us might deeply wrestle with that. And I'm not going to actually impose this is right or that's right. But what I'm saying is that in that situation, in questions like that, what are we going to let reign? What are we going to let reign? Because in our world right now, it's not peace reigning. It's power. It's money. It's intimidation. It's fear. And when the world looks for an alternative, who are they going to look to? They look to the people of God. That Peter says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you were in darkness, but now you are the people of light. You are a city on a hill. You are the light of the world. That's us. And when we choose, when you choose peace, when I choose peace, we allow peace to reign, and it gives people in the world an alternative to look to. Let's pray and ask God to give us that heart to let peace reign. Father, we just want to say thank you for your Son, Jesus. Jesus, you are our Prince of Peace. Jesus, you said that in this world you will have trouble, but be of good heart, because I have overcome the world. You said that I'm sharing these things with you while I'm still in the world, that you might have peace and your joy, and that your joy might be full. Jesus, you have promised us peace. Richard read it out for us, the promise that you gave in Acts. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just want to confess there's many times that we do not let you reign. So, Father, you are so quick to forgive. Father, would you forgive us when we don't let the Spirit of Peace reign? Forgive us for our idolatry, our greed, our immorality, our anger, our slander, our impatience of giving ourselves to the umpire of that old governance. Would you forgive us, Father? And I know you do. And Lord, we ask that you would renew us individually and collectively. We say together, Holy Spirit, we want your peace to reign. Come, Holy Spirit. Just ask your peace to reign in our marriages, in our families, in our thinking, in the desires of our heart. Come, Spirit of God, we pray.